بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ذلك ولو يشاء الله لانتصر منهم ولكن ليبلو بعضكم ببعض. الله تعالى would have himself defended Islam. لو يشاء الله لانتصر منهم. He himself could have defended Islam, defended the Muslims. ولكن ليبلو بعضكم ببعض. But through jihad, through striving, Allah Ta'ala tries people. So it's not a coincidence. It is the decree of Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala wills it to be like this. وَلَكِنْ لِيَبْلُوَ بَعْضُكُمْ بِبَعْضٍ وَالَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. But those that are martyred in the path of Allah Ta'ala, then there are several guarantees. لَنْ يُذِلَّ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. Allah Ta'ala will never allow the striving to go waste. Again, in the same surah, Muhammad al-Labak says, إِن تَنْسُوا اللَّهَ يَنْسُوكُمْ. You help Allah Ta'ala, He will help you. وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ, and He will root you firmly, and plant your feet firmly against your enemies. So Islam has come to us with a lot of difficulty. A lot of people shed their blood, gave their lives, made their wives widows, children orphaned, right? Went through untold misery, difficulty, torture, pain. And in this way, Islam reached us. And Allah willed, He would have come to us without any difficulty, any pain, any sacrifice. But He chose that He should come to us with pain and with difficulty. On the side of those that gave their lives and sacrificed, so their names will go in history, that these are the people that were the forerunners. And in every age, they were the forerunners. So now, when they were the forerunners, then how does it benefit them? So everybody that came afterwards, then these were the people that gave the lead. Right? So their rewards are multiplied all the time, and they will be declared as the Sabiqun al-Awwalun, the ones that were foremost in this whole strive of deen. Then they were the foremost, they were right in the front. So that's why Allah Pak speaks about them. لا يستوي منكم من قاتل قبل الفتح. من أنفق من قبل الفتح وقاتل. So there are several different departments of people. One is those people, من أنفق من قبل الفتح. Understand the Islam, the history of Islam. The Arabs, their tradition was, they want to see who is the custodian of the Kaaba Sharif. That's now Arab culture. What's the Arab culture? Is who is the custodian of the Kaaba Sharif. So when they see that he is the custodian, then all the Arabs will follow suit. What is the custodian doing? Which side is turning to? So all Arabs in all Arab lands will come on that end. Now, Makkah Mukarramah had not yet been conquered. Right? It's still to come. It hasn't yet been conquered, right? So you're getting two sets of people. One set of first people that are striving before the conquest of Makkah. And the second set of people are striving after the conquest of Makkah. So these people that are striving before the conquest, لا يستبي منكم من أنفق من قبل الفتح وقاتل. They have spent and they have given their lives. So they can't be equal to those who came after. The reason is obvious. The reason is this. See, after the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah, we could see the rise and the shine of Islam. We could see that Islam is definitely going to prevail. We could see that Islam is going to be recognized. That was after the conquest of Makkah. But before the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah, there was no promise, right? No guarantee that this is going to happen, this is going to work out. Right? Now, at a time when there's no guarantee that this is going to work out, and someone is giving his life. Right? You know, in our terms, it's an investment, right? But there's no guarantee that this investment will work out. Right? And you are investing in that. And the other person is, when that thing already worked out, right, then you invested. See? So here there was absolutely no guarantee. No guarantee, just hoping and trusting in Allah that it works out. And in that hope and in that aspiration you are giving your life. So this person and the one that came after, can they be alike? Here there was no guarantee, no promises, nothing. Absolutely nothing. Right? Like in this country now, those that fought for the freedom, right? From Delhi, etc., right? So, those that strive for the freedom before anything would materialize, they strove. Right? But no promises. Nothing was promised to them. Just the love for the party, or the love for the rulers, and we strove, right? So there was one. And those that fought, strived, post the freedom, and that came, ANC came into power, now we're striving. Can this person and this person be alike? Yeah, there was no promise, no pledge, no guarantee, nothing. But just my allegiance, my love, my respect, my trust, that pushed me to support you. So Allah Bakhsi is La Yastavi. أُولَٰئِكَ أَعْزَدُ دَرَجْدَةً مِنَ الَّذِينَ أَنْفَقُوا مِنْ بَعْدُ وَقَاتَلُوا. So this class of people are far higher in rank than those people that came later, fought and spent, right? They also spoiled. But these people can't be like this. Yeah. So it shows that Allah appreciates the proportion of your sacrifice, the nature of the sacrifice. See, this, the nature of the sacrifice is different. Here, the nature of the sacrifice is different. And then in all dini work, the same rule will apply. Like when this Tabligh Jamaat work started here, 62, 63, so we were small children, right? So, because a lot of activity was here on the coast, so we saw the work. And we also heard people passing comments, right? They would say, lamba lamba jubba perine, very long, long robes, and they're going around. What's going to happen to this? That was the remarks, right? But now these people, they strove. They stood their ground, they strove, they worked, they took all the all the negatives, they took it. The wrong criticism, they took everything. So, this is one class when nothing was evident yet. We didn't know that this thing is going to work out. Right? We didn't know it's going to work out. And that time they strove. And I can still remember. I'm a child now, still young, very small. I can speak to Bhaipadya, right? And every dua is crying. He is crying. He starts with a dua, he's crying. Now I'm thinking, hey, what's going on now? We didn't see something like this. And we can't identify. We're too small to identify and recognize what's going on. But I can see the man, and he's crying. And then, at the beginning, there's hardly any support. Nobody's supporting. There were some that used to give the support right from the beginning. But one person, I think now he's living in Shakura somewhere. So Bhaipadya would come to town. So there were two places that were the headquarters at that time. One was Sayyid Saf and one was Ayyub Sen. That was like the Markaz. Before this flower road junction, so he'd come there, right? So this man is giving this report now. 63, 64, he's giving a report. So that means somebody over 60 years. He's giving a report. But he's shifting to IGSN, he was working in IGSN. Right? The business wasn't flourishing at that time. I know that time. It wasn't. That time was just like a grocery shop. Now you can't imagine seeing it being a grocery shop. I can remember that it was a grocery shop. Now, my buddy is coming here, and I need a driver. I need a car and a driver. So the elders say, right, there's a car, there's a driver, move on. Now this man is giving the story after 60 years. He says now, once they're traveling to, I think it was Ladysmith, right? And there's an istima. And as they reach, it's pouring, you can't believe, right? So Bhaipadya went, he went on one corner of the tent and started crying. And he's giving his report. Like he's a jai, this man is a jai, right? But the exact description that comes in the hadith, you know, when there was a drought that struck Medina, and Nabi Sallam was on the minbar, and he made dua, right? And now the whole Medina got flooded. Now this man here or someone else came, Rasulullah, you know, the houses are getting broken, all that. Now ask Allah to stop the rain. He says, I can see that clouds all just going all around Medina, like even like a topi, so nothing in the center and all around. This is the description he gave. I could see the clouds all around and nothing in the istima. Right. See the power of dua at that time. We're just starting now. And what type of effort, what type of sacrifice, whatever of crying they had. So this was crying and tears and made work. We don't realize. People coming for advice in the Jamaat group. For example, Bhai Patel's Jamaat went to Canada, right? I think it was late 60s they went. They were doing Juma Namas on a Sunday. We laugh at it. Juma on Sunday. So, Bhai Patel was still young at the time. Sometimes we go wild. And he shouted them, he made a noise, brought it to Friday. So I was talking, there was one Canadian, he said, no, I witnessed that. I remember the Juma being performed on a Sunday. This man came, he just turned, said, oh, it can't happen. He's not bothered about any comments. He just went, took the bull by the horn, started the Juma on a Friday. But now, can you imagine what they did? How they worked? So, in Dini work, just remember, there's one that will give the lead, and the other that will follow. One that will lead. So the one that will lead, obviously, his maqam, his position is far, far higher. Sabiqun al-awwalun. They're in the forefront. And the others then, that are following, they must support it. You can see now, you're doing the right thing. When you're doing the right thing now, instead of, you know, becoming a spokes in the work, now see how you can not be spokes in the work, be the spokesman. Not the spokes in the work. Be the spokesman, do something. In that you find a lot of tamash, a lot of drama you find. I remember the first ishtima that in Greece University. We all children now, for the fun of it, to your bedding, upstairs Greece is sleeping there. My elder brother passed away now. So they're making gush now, ishtima time they're making gush. Somehow the other important person, like the sight is still before me. They went, somehow they caught one person, Umarji and someone else, they took the person, threw him out of the masjid. He was a drunkard. So that picture is still before me, was 64. But you see the mehra they made, the effort that they made. And then, in that, a lot of kindness and a lot of covering of faults. When I saw this being, you know, a lot of ikram, lots and lots of ikram, and lots of covering of faults. The worst wrong the person did is covering it, you got a bigger picture to look at. So these things, we can't allow these things to stop the work. So just carry on. So all those sacrifices are made. In the rush, somebody is dying, something is happening, and they're not, you know, at that time it seemed like they under some hypnosis. Just carry on, for now. And then you see now, then what ishtima taking place. First 2,000, then 5,000. You know, it makes you think, you know, that this is how the deen spreads. See, Allah Pak speaks about this in Surah Fatah, in the talk of Congress of Makkah Mukarrama. So Allah Pak speaks about it. Muhammadur Rasulullah, right? And what's the description? Ashidda'u al kuffar ruhama'u bainahum. Kufar culture, their ways, etc., they severe against it. Severe against kufar, their culture, their ways, their teaching. Yesterday I was speaking about it, you know, that we call it education, school, but it's not education. Really, it's not education, it's indoctrination. We call it, it's an education, but it's got nothing to do with education, it's indoctrination. You know this Syria, and the conquest of Syria took place now, right, about 3 months. So, the United Nations or the settlement delegation, they must become the heroes. When these guys were catching it, they didn't go in, right? Afghanistan, with the killing, now when Afghanistan came into Muslim power, UN coming, World Bank, everything, we had to support you. All the time, and the support doesn't mean they're supporting, it's they want to indoctrinate. But under the guise of some relief work. So the front of a relief work, right. That's a trial. For a Muslim, it's a big trial. See, Allah Pak says, إِنَّمَا الْمُشْرِكُونَ النَّجَسٌ فَلَا يَقْرَبُوا الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامَ بَعْدَ عَامِ مَعْدَ وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ عَيْلَةً فَصُوفَ يُونِكُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah Pak says, the Muslim world, see, Afghanistan, in a short period, right? Afghanistan, then Sham came in, then Gaza came in, right? But now, this is a very trying period. So Allah Pak says, لا يقربوا المسجد الحرام بعد عام. These people are first, إنما المشركون, they mustn't come close. Right? Mustn't come close, there's just different explanations. But as Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi says, the meaning of not coming close, they mustn't come here to impress their culture, their ways. Right? They can come humble as slaves, do the business and move, but not to come and impress the Muslim world. Right? Not to impress the Muslim world with their culture, with their ways, their behavior. So on that grounds we allow them. But now, as masters and bullies, no. Not. And then Allah says, alright, the natural concern will be, in khiftum a'ilatan, you know, trade and commerce is required for the country to thrive, right? You got your products and it needs to be sold, and you need to get the outside products, you know. Exports, imports, that's how the country works, right? So Allah Pak is warning them, in khiftum a'ilatan for sofa yuhin. If you are afraid about poverty, Allah Pak will give wealth. Don't worry about these people. Ash-shaytan ya'idukum al-faqr. Shaytan, his whole business is to frighten you with poverty. What? Ya'idukum al-faqr. The whole shaytanic scheme is to frighten you with poverty. وَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ. So Shaitan has got two things in front. One is, he'll frighten you with poverty, and he will encourage indecent behavior. These are two tools that they will use. So Allah is forewarning the Muslims, إِنْ خِفْتُمْ عَيْلَةً, you're afraid of poverty, فَسَوْفَ يُغْنِيكُمْ اللَّهُ, Allah will give wealth. How it will happen, it will happen. But trust him, he will make it happen. You will go behind them, they will indoctrinate you, they will enslave you. Right? So I was explaining that the UN came into Sham, Syria, right, to make a survey of what's going on. So their complaint was that when we see in the whole education system, in the university, the trade levels, etc., and they were nothing to do with evolution and Big Bang theory. Now, I sit back and I think about it. This Big Bang and evolution, what has it got to do with education? And the most funniest part is that they made that a contention. Whereas that is still a theory, it's not a fact. Last 90 years they're teaching in schools and everywhere, they're talking about it. Up till now they couldn't prove it. But now this became the bone of contention, that they don't have evolution, nor do they have. So I ask you, evolution, how does it connect to education? Education is what? In the secular system, education is for what? It's for you to become materially secure, right? That's the whole idea. That you can stand up on your own, you can do something. Now this thing, how does it relate to education? Any logical explanation? Can anybody give me any logic? How does it contribute or assist you to be materially secure? Anyway. So then I said, see, this is not education, it's indoctrination. Right? You know, before there was slavery, right? Right? So now, through the education, they're enslaving you. That white superiority, because evolution came from the whites, so you must follow that, otherwise you'll get left out. See that? So before they were slaved, literally, now intellectually you are being enslaved. You must think like them. Otherwise, I ask you, give me any logical explanation between evolution and material security. Any logical. And now that was the bone of contention. Why don't they have it? Then it makes you think, alright, right, what is, they want you to be enslaved, white superiority, West superiority, right? Right. But now, what's the agenda? See, they got this point, what's the agenda? Why are they pushing the luck? The only thing I can think of is they're pushing the luck because they want you to be a godless humanity, godless. Right? Because when they talk of God now, God says, can't do this, can't do this, can't do that. Right? So it stops the machinery. Right? Their machinery thrives on indecent behavior and entertainment, all the type of indecent. So, I was trying to work out a modern person, right? Modern person. So he earns, right? It would seem like at least 60% of his salary goes towards all these things here. Entertainment, amusement, indecency. 60-70% goes to that. That's my, when I'm looking at that life, how it works, right? So now, they understand that their machinery can't work. The machinery can't work if they don't have this evolution, etc. You ask how, I give you one explanation, right? So their machinery, how it works, like this. They'll make the world seem attractive. What? Zujina linnasi wa zujina lahum shaitanu amalam. What? They'll lure you, right? Lure you. By Lexus, man. Why aren't you driving Corolla? You playing? Buy this car. Now the Mercedes now, nobody's buying, they're buying all the Chinese cars now. They had to close up. Somebody had to. Yeah, fact now. So now, they'll attract, they'll lure you, right? This appliance, this car, this holiday, right? So they'll lure you, right? Lure you. Now, you will see, paisa kahan se lao? But, don't worry, man. Mr. Katrara, don't worry, don't worry. We'll help you out, we'll sort you out. How much you want? 1 million? Don't worry. Take. Right? So, if they don't lure you this bank and interest, can their machinery work? So, the whole banking system is to chain you up. You know, they say bond. What means bond? To chain you up. And without this binding, can the machinery work? Can it work? Countries can't work. Just America itself, the economy is showing, they have the deficit for about 45 trillion, not rands, dollars, for the deficit. So they can't work without interest. And Islam is saying now, الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ الرِّبَى لَا يَقُومُونَ إِلَّا كَمَا يَقُومُ الَّذِي يَتَخَبَّطُهُ الشَّيْطَانُ. They'll get up from the graves on the day of Qiyamah like bad people. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأَذَّنُوا بِحَرْبٍ. Such a stern warning. In the whole Quran Sharif, so only one place Allah Pak says in the whole Quran that I wage war against you. For the person that defies interest, defies the command of Allah Ta'ala, supporting interest, only one place Allah Pak says, I wage war. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأَذَّنُوا. So the whole system runs, revolves around interest. Indecency, interest, right? As you can, they operate without it. So they made you feel like that, they made you think that you can't run the world without. Now, the easy answer to that is, see, the world, right, up until, see, 1600 somewhere, right, 700, what was predominant, it was Islamic culture, Islamic rule. Ottoman Empire, all these things running, right? Right. You look at the Banu Umayyah, right? They ruled for about 60 years. Banu Abbas, 200-300 years they ruled, right? And at that time, the historians are writing that there was, the wealth was flowing, there was no takers. The wealthy people are coming with heaps of gold, and there's nobody to take it. Everybody is loaded. There's nobody to take. So if it is that the world can only operate with interest and usury, then how were they thriving? How did they thrive? If you say the world can't operate without interest and usury, right? I ask you, they ruled, right? And you could see the effects of Muslim rule till about the 16th, 17th century. How did they run? I remember this banking system is a new thing, it's a recent thing. This whole, you know, from Spingo Rail right to, I think, Durban, there was just one bank, I think, in Clearwood somewhere. But the whole, everything was running, everything was, life was carrying on, people were running. How did it work? So they made you feel that you can't run a country without the interest. Right? Now, when they got that interest, then they got a way to clamp you down, to choke you, to chain you. Because they bonded your property, your house. So now you can't make a move. This is bonded, that is bonded, this is tied, that is tied. Can you make a move? Can't make a move. So they tied you up. So I was explaining Muhammadur Rasulullah. Right? So what is their concern? See, Islam comes up, how it comes up. Kazar in akhraja shat'ahu, right? Islam comes up like this. You strive. In tansurullah, you strive. For the right deen, the right intentions. Liyansurannallahu mayansur. Support Allah Ta'ala. Don't look, you're so weak now. Look at Muhammad, so weak now. Don't look at your weakness. Allah says, "Yansuranallahu, you help me, I'll help you out." So the beginning of Islam is like this: "Kazar in akhrajatahu." A seed you put into the ground, right? Then it pushes its stem out, right? At the beginning, has it got any stability? Can it stand on its own? No stability, can't stand on its own. Nothing. Right? One wind comes pushing that side. One wind comes pushing this side. So no stability. Kazar in akhraj shat'ahu, right? It pushes out its stem. Fastaghlaza fastawa. Right? Fa'azarahu fastaghlaza, right? So it pulls out the stem. then the thing becomes strong and becomes thick. Right. Now it can stand on its own. Before it was a weakling like a stem, and now it became strong, it became thick. You know, Ajibu Zurra. And when the farmer sees this age, they admired what it was and now what it is. It was just a small seed, went into the ground, and now it became strong, became thick, and people admired it. Right? Now it's standing on its own. See the date tree, right? It was just a small date pit, right? Thrown into the ground, right? But the date, that pit, had to annihilate itself. What? It had to annihilate itself. So that's what's required of the Muslim. Leave yourself. Your ego, or leave it out. Your name, your ego, leave it out. Just give yourself to Allah Ta'ala. So if that date pit, if that thing says, hey, you know, my beauty, and how look I look, you know, see my lips look so nice, so cute I am. Would it have ever flourished? No, put me in the freezer, I'll maintain my beauty, my sweetness, and you know. So, will it ever flourish? Can't flourish. It had to go down and finish itself up. So that Muslim has to go down into sajda, and that's why Allah says, Tarahum rukkaan sujjada. What is the prominent thing in them? The humble and the submissive. What? They submit to Allah, the humble people. يُعْجِبُ الزُّرَّى لِيَغِيْزَ بِهُ الْكُفَّارِ. Now when they're so mighty and strong, now the Muslims will admire, right? People of honesty, truth, they'll honor. And لِيَغِيْزَ بِهِمُ الْكُفَّارِ. And this now enrages the kuffar. كُشْ نَيْتَ وَإِذَا مَزْبُودْ تَعْقَدْ وَرْهُوَيْ. So we have to remain firm in our ways, not in the Western culture, not in their thinking. Otherwise, you're pushing away the help of Allah Ta'ala. No, we'll do a little bit of usually this, that, by forget all that now. You'll push away the help of Allah. Because Allah's help, Allah is pure, and you only accept that is pure. Well, mix up with haram, all that. How do you expect to draw the assistance of Allah Ta'ala? See that how it works. So I was just giving the parallel to the Jamaat work. So when I saw it in the beginning, 1%, 2% going for Garcia, going all this, you know, leaving all this place in Malagasy. They're shouting, I can remember Ibrahim Padia, Allah of course gave him Noor. He's shouting, oh Musa bhai! Malagasy, that place is very hilly. To go right on top, it's an effort. So they're making Garcia, Musa bhai! Yusuf bhai! Somehow they just buy that bike. How they started off. Now you can't believe this is how the humble beginnings, and it's even Spinovich when you came here. So there's no Juma also when you came. So Ibrahim Bhai's father, Abdul Qadir Murtadar is his name. He used to bring that khutbah kitab. And you know the masjid flat or Harut upstairs. So one room they should dedicate for Jummah Namaz. About 30-40 people used to come for Jummah Namaz. He used to come from Bajun before him. To the Jummah Namaz every return. Right? Then at that time you look so insignificant, that thing. But they carried on and on and on. Now from a small room, then they moved on to the outhouse, you know where the flats are, the new flats. Right. From there, the masjid. From the masjid to now, Spingong, we've got three masjids. And in many namaz, all three masjids are full. This is full, this is full. And I say, don't say crap city, please. Say now, Mu'adh bin Jabal city. A crab city doesn't look, for a masjid, it doesn't look nice. It doesn't look nice, crab city, masjid. Say Mu'adh bin Jabal. Three masjid, the madrasa. So it comes into the eyes of the kuffar. Yaghiza bihim al-kuffar. But the secret here is remain firm. Don't go in the culture. You don't have to go into a dialogue and a fight or that. Don't do all that. Just remain firm on your ways. And Allah Pak's promises, يَنْصُرَنَّ اللَّهُ مَيَنْصُرَ I'll help you out. But you stand for my deen, I'll help you out. Don't worry about poverty, I'll sort you out. I'll make things work out. And then, when they were firm there, then Makkah Mukarramah became such after that, that the latest product in any part of the world first hits the market of Makkah. Any computer part, whatever, first place that it comes, where does it come? The Indonesian will find the fish of his choice, the Indian will find the chili of his choice, right? And the Pakistani will find the rice what he wants, right? Any type of food you'll find in there. Every type and any type you'll find in there. See that? So, وَلَا يَنْصُرَنَّ اللَّهُ مَنْ لَبَقُ لَبِيُ. How it will happen, you know about that. But do the work. How Allah will do it, that's not your business. Your business is do my work. Be firm, strong, you don't have to fight, you don't have to dialogue, but remain firm. Tabligh Jamaat, God, this one here. According to original Usul. See, Ilyas al-Usul, Fazail al-Amal, Fazail al-Sadaqat, that original Usul, just do it like that. Not the new invented ones. The original Usul, and see how Allah Pak's assistance will come. Allah Pak's tawfiq is equal.